We're joined right now by a Golf Channel insider. He is a senior writer for GolfChannel.com. He is also the co-host of the Golf Channel podcast with Rex and Lav. Of course, I'm talking about a member of the legendary Jungle Rex streak, Rex Hoggard. Rex, my dude, great to have you on, especially this week. How are things, Rex?
They're awesome. When are you going to come to the Masters? This is something you have to do.
No, you're right. You're right. I have no excuse. I really do. And as soon as I can set the thing up, it's no excuse. I'm not going to even get into why I haven't yet, but you're right. I really have to. I really have to.
It's such a special experience. I've got a bunch of folks in town from my family this year, and I'm seeing it through their eyes for the first time. And after 20 years, you can get a little jaded, a little dull. And seeing it through people's eyes for the first time is always sort of refreshing. Because you realize how special this place is.
No, you're right. You're right. I've just never figured out a way to drag the radio show and the TV show to the Masters and set the whole thing up. But you're right. I need to get that done. So let me ask you. You're always great at providing real-time analysis when you join us when a tournament's already underway. So I'm curious, Rex, what has stood out to you during this marathon day two after some players had to finish up their first round due to the rain yesterday? What are some of your thoughts?
Well, the first part of me is the agent of chaos. And so you look at the top of the leaderboard, and you have DeChambeau kind of doing DeChambeau things. And it's been a while since at least we've seen him on the PGA Tour side, at the major championship side, doing that. And you have Scottie Scheffler doing Scottie Scheffler things. And, again, the agent of chaos inside of me craves those two going head-to-head all the way into Sunday. Because just the idea, and look, it's a far more nuanced conversation than just PGA Tour golfer versus LIV golfer. We all know that. But the idea, at least across the general sporting public, that would be so entertaining because you have essentially one of the, probably the most polarizing figures who joins LIV Golf, among the most polarizing figures, and you have the guy on the PGA Tour side that one insider just called him the guy who wears the white hat for the PGA Tour, going head-to-head at this particular event, and they're both playing really good golf. I love that storyline.
I do, too. I think that's great. Now, you wrote a really interesting article, I thought, on DeChambeau, who shot 65 yesterday, and he's in a good spot right now. How has he evolved as a player and a person since he famously called Augusta National a par 67 in 2020?
He's walked that one back, which I think kind of says all you need to know. And look, there was a time when Bryson, when he first joined the PGA Tour, he was unapologetic. He wanted to change the world of golf. He wanted to change the way people played golf. He talked about one-length clubs, and we know about him packing on all the weight and just going to extremes to try to hit the ball farther and trying to become what he called a robot. And I think what happened is he just got older. He's 30 years old. I think it happens to all of us eventually where you start to realize tilting at windmills is probably not the best use of your energy. I think he's become much more understanding of people who have differing opinions and people who may roll their eyes a little bit when you hear him sort of talk his nonsense about how he's trying to make golf as much of a scientific formula as possible. I actually wanted to kind of quantify that. So I reached out to one of his LIV Golf teammates, Paul Casey, and I go, give me an example, because he agreed. He's much more mature. And I go, give me an example of how he's gotten better. And he went back to last year, and Bryson had called a team meeting, and he was being Maximum Bryson. He was talking about wanting the team to hit their putts on the east-west axis of the golf ball instead of the northwest axis of the golf ball. And he was just met with a chorus of eye rolls. And I think the way Paul described it is they got it. He got it. He understood that, okay, I need to let these dudes do what they do best, which is play really, really good golf. And ever since then, Paul said he has just become a really good teammate and a really good leader.
Rex Hoggard is joining us. It's a great anecdote. Rex, what about Max Homa? So far, so good for Max. What's been working for him as he tries to win the first major of his career at age 33?
We were just talking about this on Live From, and I always want to footnote this because I have a huge amount of admiration for Max and his game and what he's been able to do in his career. He does everything really well that you have to do to play Augusta. He putts well. He's in the top third on the PGA Tour, and he hits his irons well. He's in the top third of the PGA Tour in strokes gained approach. That just has not translated into the Masters. I think his best finish here is a tie for 41st. He's missed two cuts, I think, out of his four starts. That hasn't translated to the majors. He has, I think it's one top 10. This is his 18th major start. I don't think he's got back-to-back rounds in the 60s in any of the majors he's played. And it's baffling to me because, again, I will point to what he does best. What the things he does best is what you need to do to play major championship golf well. And you also look at he has won big events. He's won the Wells Fargo. He's won the Genesis. He's been able to do things in golf that most players cannot do. So it's really baffling to me that he has found himself trying to – sort of find that magical formula. And I think it would be so cool if it was this week.
It would. Rex, what about the cat, Tiger Woods, one of the players who was not able to finish the first round last night, meaning he's going to have to play 23 holes today, which is going to be a challenge, obviously, given the injuries that he's dealing with. After making a pair of bogeys in five holes to end his first round today, where do things currently stand for him in the second round, and how's he looking in terms of making the cut?
I think it's really unfortunate that this worked out. And look, it's a weather delay. It's an outside sport. These things happen. However, it's a worst-case scenario for him to have to come out this morning, and it was cool. It was in the 50s this morning. And with everything we know about his body, and it takes him forever to warm up, I think it was Brandel Chamblee on Live From was talking about by the time he finished up all of his post-round work last night in the dark and had to wake up this morning to try to get back on the horse and do it again, he probably got 3 hours of sleep because it takes a lot to get him moving. We know that it's just not duct tape, that he has to spend a lot of time getting his body up to speed. I would have loved an opportunity to see him do it properly, play 18 holes yesterday in the warmth, wake up this morning, come out and see what we got, because this is going to be a really, really tough test for him. I think from a golf standpoint, he's fine. We saw it yesterday. There was plenty of good things in that round of golf to give you reason to think not only can he make the cut, but he could probably have a solid week. It's the physical part. It's getting around this golf course in 72 holes and having to do 23 in one day. That's the stuff that's going to hurt him.
You know, Rex, hard to imagine. Rory McIlroy has not won a major since the 2014 PGA Championship. What's his outlook as he continues to look for a breakthrough performance to win the first Masters and complete that career Grand Slam?
We've talked about this kind of ad nauseum because the idea was, and I give him a monsoon of credit, he decided that doing the same thing over and over again, what we all know, is insanity. So he wanted to mix it up this week coming into this major because it means the world to him. He understands this puts him in a very, very rare category of career Grand Slam winners. And so he played the week before. He was in San Antonio last week. He made a scouting trip up here to get all of his prep work last Monday and Tuesday at Augusta, get that out of the way. He didn't show up this week until Tuesday afternoon. I think he played one nine-hole practice round, didn't play the par three. Like all of the things that he has changed and switched up and tried to find the winning formula. Yesterday was a good start, actually. I know 71 compared to what Bryson did and some of the other players did, didn't look that great. But if you look at his record, he historically starts awful on this golf course for whatever reason. If you look at his best finish, it was a second place, I think, in 2018. He started the week 73-73. So if you could start with something in the red, something under par, I think it was going to be encouraging. But today's the litmus test.
Hey, Rex, really quickly, off topic. Anthony Kim has always been one of my favorite all-time athletes. How he was able to stay off the grid for more than a decade is miraculous. But come to find out, we now know he was dealing with some pretty heavy issues. Have you had a chance to connect with him, and what do you make of his attempted comeback?
I have not, and I would have loved to do it, and I can't wait for the doc to come out. They're doing a documentary on him, and last week he did a 30-minute sit-down with David Faraday a little bit. Because for you and I, people who've covered sports for a long time, been around the game, this is like Loch Ness crawling out of the lake. I mean, this was, you haven't been around for 12 years. It was such an amazing story. And I find it interesting that, you know, people, fans of a certain generation have no idea who he is, but he did such special things. I go back to that 2008 Ryder Cup. He was such a spark. He was so much energy. He's exactly what the game needed. And to just reemerge is amazing.
Rex, he was electric. That version of AK was electric. So I'm with you. In fact, I would text with him maybe once or twice a year, and it was always really short and be like, hey, Rome, great to hear from you. Hope the fam is good. You know, peace out. But he did tell me about a year ago that there was a documentary and was going to deal with mental health issues and more. So I'm with you. I'm really curious to see what that looks like. Rex Hoggard is a Golf Channel insider. He's a senior writer for GolfChannel.com, also co-host of the Golf Channel podcast with Rex and Lav, and a member of the famous Rex Streak. Great job, Rex. Really appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. Rex always shows up during the majors and delivers the goods.